Psalm 84. We'll read most of this chapter, actually just 10 verses of the 12 verses in Psalm 84. Amen. Look in God's word with me here tonight. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now that verse is a key verse in that psalm, because this, as you notice there, I don't know what your Bible says at the top of the Bible. It says a psalm for the sons of Korah. There are different groups of people that the psalms were addressed to. The sons of Korah have, there's several psalms addressed to them because they were known as the gatekeepers of the temple. They were the gatekeepers of the temple. They would be, I guess, like our greeters or maybe our ushers. But their responsibility was to welcome people, open up the gates and welcome people into the temple of the Lord. I heard about a man and a woman that were on a Sunday morning. The woman was getting ready for church. She got all ready and she noticed that her husband wasn't ready for church. And she said, "Why are you not dressed for church?" And he said, "Because I'm not going to church." And she said, "Well, why are you not going to church?" And he said, "Well, for three reasons. Number one, nobody likes me there. Number two, everybody's unfriendly there. And number three, I just really don't feel like going." So then the wife said, "Well, I've got three reasons why you need to go. Number one, there's some people there that like you. And number two, I think there are a lot of people there that are warm and friendly. And then number three, you're the pastor." I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard that story. And I don't relate to it at all, because I can't remember a time in my life that I dreaded going to church. I don't remember a time ever that I dreaded going to church. And I have gone to church all of my life. And gone as a young kid, gone as a member of the youth group, gone all through the years of my younger years, and then after we were married, there's never been a time when the house of God and the things of God were not very important to us and to me personally. And so that's really what this whole psalm is about, how precious and wonderful the house of God is, and which often we take for granted, and we don't think about or consider how wonderful it is that we can come to the house of the Lord. I remember some places I've been, like in India, where they walked for miles and miles and miles to get to the house of God. There's not a whole lot of walkers here in the States, unless they're out intentionally walking for their physical health. People don't walk very much going to church or going anywhere for that for that matter, but in many places around the world, it is the way to travel. You walk wherever you go. They would walk, and when they would get there, they expected the service to be long. They wanted it to be long. And I had two visits to India, and on one of my visits, that I traveled all through the night on a Saturday, all through the night, got off of the train that morning and went to the church there where Brother Kamalapali was, and I was to preach in that service. And then he told me the next, he said, there's like 120 pastors that are coming, and we want you to preach to them four times a day for the next 3 days. In the heat and the exhaustion of a place like India. And so I preached that morning to the congregation, and then that afternoon these pastors all started arriving from different places. They came into that church, which was fairly nice, but not nice by our standards. They all sat on the floor and they all listened every time, and I would preach, and then we would take a break, and I'd come back and preach again, and for 3 days, four times a day in the heat. And they sat there just ready, anxious, longing to hear from the Lord, wanting to know, to experience the presence of God and the Word of God. Amen. The house of God is precious. It really is. It's a precious thing. Now the verse here, the first verse says, how amiable are thy tabernacles. And the word amiable doesn't mean beautiful. It sounds like a good word that might mean beautiful, but it doesn't mean beautiful. It means beloved. How beloved is your tabernacles? How beloved are your tabernacles? Now we know that this place, and we're very blessed here because we've got a wonderful sanctuary, we've got a wonderful building, and we're grateful for what God has provided for us, and we praise God for it. But I know that it's not all about the building. I know it's not all about the building. The building is wonderful, and we're grateful for it, but this is a place to be beloved for a lot of different reasons. Beloved, the house of God is beloved. It's not beloved just because we know that Solomon, when the temple was dedicated, he said that this temple cannot contain him. He doesn't dwell in temples made by man. That doesn't mean he isn't here. It just means that this place can't contain him. That he's everywhere present. Everywhere you go, he's everywhere present. And you can call upon the Lord at any time, in any place you desire to. And you can experience the presence of the Lord. So he is, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. So it's not, that's not just them. We do love this place because we experience the presence of the Lord. And it is a well-beloved place. But I have to tell you, I've been in some humble, humble church buildings in my life. Mexico and Central America, buildings that are pretty much just not much more than what we would call a pole barn. Many of them with dirt floors. They don't have that much as far as beauty is concerned in their tabernacle or their church building. I remember one time going to Mexico, and we had to literally ride mules all the way up to the top of a mountain because there was no other way to get up there. And on top of a mountain, winding up the side of that mountain and finally getting up there. And we were taking materials up there to do some repairs on their one of their buildings on top of that mountain that had been damaged by a storm. And so on the side of those mules, we put solar panels. We tied them on the side of those mules. Solar panels. There was no electricity up there. And so we strapped solar panels, and we took them up the side of the mountain, and they mounted those solar panels on the top of that tin-roofed church, and then we wired it down to some batteries that supplied
for about a string of maybe three or four light bulbs. I'm telling you, it was like a celebration that night in that church service, because they had three or four very plain light bulbs that were lighting up that sanctuary that they had never had before. But it was the house of God, and they were so proud of it, and they were so thankful for that humble little building. So it's not about the building. It's not just about the building. We appreciate it. We're grateful for it. But it's not just about this place. It's beloved for a lot of reasons. It's beloved because of the presence of God that meets with us here. It's beloved because the Word of God is preached here. It's beloved because the people of God gather here. And it's beloved because of supernatural things that God has done, and experiences in the things of God that we can have right in the house of God. If it's in a beautiful sanctuary such as we have, or if it's in a very plain dirt-floored building in Central America, it really doesn't matter. It's a sanctuary of the Lord, and it's an amiable tabernacle. It is a beloved tabernacle of the Lord, no matter what the building is made of. We do have connections, and we associate with buildings, and we have experiences. I told you recently how that I went back to my home area and the church that I grew up in all the way till I was a senior in high school, that they had tore the building down. They'd moved to another location, tore the old building down. And I was so sad about that. I was sad about that because those years, my growing up years, I had all of these experiences in that place. I sang in the youth choir. I was a part of, even Sunday school classes and children's church. And I grew up in that building, and I have all kinds of experiences and memories connected to that place. And it was just a very ordinary. It wasn't like an ornate place. It was a very common ordinary building built probably in the late 40s, and so it was nothing special about it as far as its beauty or its what it was as far as its value. But it was a beloved place to me. It was a beloved place to me because I got saved in that place. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in a back part of that building in a Sunday school room. The Lord dealt with me and spoke to me and worked in my life. And so I had some connections there with that building. And they weren't all pleasant. One, I was helping the pastor string some wires. I think it was for speakers. I can't remember. But my assignment was to get in the attic and to run these wires across the top of the sanctuary. And I assume it was speakers. It might have been telephone wire. I don't remember. This is long before internet days, so I know it wasn't Cat 5 cable. I was assigned. I was young and, crawling around in the attic and walking on a board that I thought was going to be a board that was going to continue all the way down the center of the building, but the board ran out. And I went all the way up to my thigh and went through the ceiling. And now, after that time, they fixed it and repaired it where I had fallen through. I didn't fall all the way through, thank God. It could have killed me. But I could always look up, and no one else would really know except me and the pastor. We were the only ones that were there that day. And I could look at the spot in the ceiling. No one else could really notice it, but I could see a little bit of a crack up there. And I remembered, years later, I went back there to preach. And I walked down that aisle, and I looked up there, and I could still see the little crack. That was the reminder of an experience that I had. Not necessarily a pleasant experience, but I'm just going through all this to tell you that the house of God is a beloved place. It's a place that should be in our heart. We should love the house of the Lord for a lot of different reasons. We should love the house of God. Amen. Amen. Notice verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. This is an expression of great desire, a desire to get to the house of God. Have you ever had experience like that? where you just felt like, I really need to get to church. I need to get to the house of God. And maybe a rough week, or maybe some real heavy trials or burdens, or some dark, difficult experiences that you're going through. And but this psalmist is saying, my soul longs for it. I even faint for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. There was a sincere desire and a longing for the house of the Lord. If you don't have that longing and desire, then there's probably some adjustments that you need to make spiritually in your own heart, in your own life, because it's here that God can meet with you. It's here that the Lord can help you. Not that He can't other places, but this is a place that's been set aside many years ago. It was committed and dedicated to the Lord for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This became a sanctuary unto the Lord many years ago, but it was dedicated to the purpose of God and to the move of God and the work of God. And so to neglect it or to deny the value and the importance of it is a very serious mistake. It's a big mistake a lot of people are making these days. It just makes sense. If you love God, you're going to love His house. How amiable are thy tabernacles? How beloved, how well beloved are your tabernacles, O Lord? Amen. So if you love the Lord, I think it just kind of goes without saying that you're going to love the things of God and you're going to love the house of God. Amen. You are. You're going to love the house of God. And I really can't, you know, I can't see how we can apply the logic that sometimes we do to unfaithfulness to the house of God. It don't work in any other experience of our life, any other thing else that's going. I mean, if your car starts every time except once a week, are you going to be satisfied with that? Is that okay with you? No, if one day a week your car don't start, you're going to get aggravated. And if you keep having that problem every week, you're going to get so aggravated that you're going to probably find a way to get a different vehicle if you can't get it fixed. If it's your vehicle, or what about your appliances, your refrigerator, or your, who was it that had something broke down recently? If your appliances don't work a couple of days out of the week, but the rest of the week they're fine, we can't apply the same logic of our everyday life to our commitment to the things of God and the house of God. It's really pretty ridiculous, isn't it? It's really foolish to think we could do that. Or an employer that would say, well, it's okay because my employees, they miss 2 or 3 days of work a month. That's okay. We'll just overlook that. No, you don't overlook that at all. Or a husband or a wife that's unfaithful to each other. If that happens one time, there is such a breakdown in that home, in that marriage. One time of unfaithfulness can do such destruction. And so we must make a commitment to God and to the things of God and allow the Lord to do something in us to cause us to once again love the house of God. Amen. Love the house of the Lord. To long for His presence, just like the psalmist said, my soul longeth. I faint for the courts of my Lord. I just long for the time when I can get back in the presence of God and back with the people of God. Amen. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right here ought to be where your treasure is, because here was a... This is where God has done a lot of things for many of you. He's answered your prayers. He's worked in your life. Some of you have been saved right here in this building. Some of you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost right in this building. Some of you have been healed and touched and blessed right here in this altar. Your heart should be really affected by that. There ought to be a real commitment and a connection with the things of the Lord in the house of God. It says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Now you can, I know it's not like our buildings, but Middle Eastern buildings many times are buildings that are kind of open And it's true that way in countries like India, that even the homes, nice homes that are built and the windows are not completely secured and sealed off, and the lizards are crawling around on your walls all through the night in the bedroom. I'm talking about in nice homes in India. You just get used to the fact that you're going to sleep and there are lizards crawling around everywhere. And some of you might not sleep, but if you get tired enough, you do. You go to sleep in a place like that. But this was talking about the temple, the tabernacle of the Lord, and more or less an open type thing where there's access. And this psalm is describing someone that's jealous of the birds that are making their nest in the house of God. He's saying, you get to live in the house of God. You build your nest there. And the sparrow has found a house. Interesting enough about the sparrow. The sparrow is considered the most worthless of birds. Hardly any value. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, two sparrows are sold for one farthing. Two sparrows for one farthing. One farthing was a half a penny. So the worthless, most worthless bird has found a resting place in the house of the Lord. Amen. We love the house of God for that very reason, because people they may seem like that they have wasted their life and they have nothing to offer, and they really don't. Their life is messed up, and they feel like that they're worthless. Not in the house of God. Not in the house of the Lord. God says there's a place for the worthless in the house of the Lord. And this psalmist is jealous over the fact that these worthless, so-called worthless sparrows have found a place to live in the house of the Lord. And the swallow has found a nest for herself. The swallow is a bird that is constantly moving and will migrate for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles and will never stop and build a nest until they're ready to lay their eggs. And they build a nest and lay their eggs, and then, of course, they have a little family of swallows. The swallow is kind of a restless. While the sparrow is a worthless bird, the swallow is a restless bird. Can't seem to settle down until finally he settles down and he builds his nest in the tabernacle of the Lord. Oh, there are a lot of people just like that out here in this world, that their lives, they can't find any contentment. They can't find any peace. There's nothing. They try everything. They do everything. They cannot find any real peace. But they could if they would go to the house of the Lord. Amen. The sparrow hath found a house to swallow, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Apparently right over in the area of the altar, the swallow has found peace and finally settled down at the altar of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, some wonderful things about the house of God. And I'm sure many of you could give testimonies, maybe to some little small little church building you grew up in or you attended, some little simple little frame church building that you were a part of maybe when you were younger, but you have fond memories of that because of all that God did in your life during those times. So these birds were envied because they were allowed to build their homes and to live there. And he's jealous and saying, you get to live in the house of the Lord. I so long for the house of God. And I'm so jealous over you birds that get to live in the house of the Lord. Here's another interesting thing about the swallow. That after the swallow lays their eggs and begin to hatch out their little swallow family, it's then and never before that they have a song. So interesting. It's then that they begin to sing a little song. They don't sing any other time. As a matter of fact, they feed in midair. They come down and pick up their worms or bugs or whatever it is that they eat, and they never stop to eat. They just fly through the air and they eat on the go, kind of like a lot of you do. Always on the run, restless, but they settle down in the house of the Lord and have their little family. And it's only then that they have their little song that they sing in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. The Lord can do some wonderful things right here in this place, right here in the sanctuary of the Lord. This is a beloved place for a lot of reasons, not because it's just a nice, beautiful building the Lord has blessed us with, but it's a beloved place because He's here. He meets with us here. His word is honored here. The Spirit of God is welcome to move in this place. And we have so many wonderful experiences in the Spirit right here in this location. So the house of God is a beloved place. Hallelujah. Now, then this psalm turns to the traveler on his way to church. Verse number 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising. They'll always be praising the Lord because they live in the house of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filling the pools. It's describing that journey, that sojourn that the Jews would take about three times a year as they would sojourn to the temple for those various feast offerings that were brought. It was a long journey, especially for some of them, a long journey. But finally, they would arrive. But on the way, it says, who passing through the valley of Baca. The word Baca means weeping. Going through the valley of Baca, make it a well. On the way to church. On the way to church. How many's ever had an argument with your wife on the way to church? How many's ever really had it out with the kids on the way to church? Sad to say, sometimes it takes us about halfway through the service to get prayed through because we got so upset at the kids on the way to church. Everybody needs to say amen to that. It's the truth. Passing through the valley of Baca on the way. It's the valley of weeping, trials, troubles, problems on the way. Make it a well. Somehow, God gave to them the ability to turn their bad circumstance into something good. Amen. Even on the way to church. Even on the way to the house of God as they traveled and journeyed to the house of the Lord. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from rest stop to rest stop, regaining strength and building themselves up and the things of the Lord on the way, because we don't have to just be in a building to experience the favor of God or the blessing of God. Amen. You can experience His presence no matter where you are. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And of course, that's exactly what they were, doorkeepers, gatekeepers. And it's probably the lowest on the totem pole as far as jobs and responsibilities in the temple. But he rejoices that he gets to do the job. It's the least job in the temple, but he rejoices in the fact that he gets to do it. And he says, a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. He was just saying, rather than to have the riches and the wealth and all the things that the world has to offer, I would rather do this little simple task in the house of God. I'd rather be here than to be out there in the world. Amen. I'm grateful because I've never really been out there in the world. I've never really been out there. I've not experienced a lot of things that some people have, so I can't say that I've tasted alcohol or tasted of, you know, and been involved in drugs. I haven't. By the grace of God, and that was never my life. But the house of God was. the house of God was, and the house, that's no doubt the reason why that I never got so tempted and led astray into some of those things. But he set his priorities here. He describes what his priorities are. I would rather do the lowest, most menial task in the house of God than to be out there in the world and be the top man and to have a lot of things and a lot of possessions and being at some high position out there in the world. I would rather. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Amen. Now this is a guy that loves the tabernacle of God. Amen. I'd rather be here than to have 1,000 days out there. I'd rather have one day right here in your courts than 1,000 days out there in the world. My, what a person who loved the Lord and loved the opportunity to serve God in whatever task that God gave to him. There needs to be a revival, you know, an outpouring of the Spirit. There desperately needs to be a revival of a love for the house of God. Amen. A love for it. A love for the things of God. As I said earlier, I know it's just the grace of God and the influence of a lot of people in my life, but I never dreaded it. I never remember saying to my mom, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have anything to do with going to church. No, I was ready to go. I was anxious to go. Many times, our church was just a couple of city blocks away. I would leave and walk to church before anybody else. I would get there before the others of my family would get there. Now, that's when I got a little older to do that. But there is deeply ingrained in my heart a love for the house of God. And I attribute that to the fact that God has worked in my life and helped me and blessed me and provided for me and actually kept me from a lot of things that I could have got into as far as the world is concerned. Lord, help us to love your house. How beloved are your tabernacles? And I say this really often, asking you to take notice of those who are a part of us, but they're not here. They're not here all the time. They're not in the house of the Lord. And I ask you to pray. Would you join with me in praying for them? Praying for them. I don't know all the reasons. I just know that there are faces that are not in the crowd very often, and they need to be here. They need to be here. They need to be here, and we need them to be here. Amen. So pray for them. Pray for them. And ask the Lord, Lord, revive in my heart a love for the things of God and a love for the house of God. And Lord, stir up the hearts of people so that they just long for it. They long for the presence of God. They long for the house of God. Like the psalmist said, my soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. I just have a longing, a desire to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. One of the most frustrating things is to go to church in foreign countries where you don't understand anything that's being said. It's pretty frustrating. And I remember many years ago when Sister Stillings, how many of you remember Sister Stillings? Only the older ones that remember her. But Sister Stillings loved the house of God. She loved it so much that if the ride didn't show up to pick her up, she would strike out walking to church. And that happened a lot. You'd see her walking toward the church. And she would get here, and someone asked Brother Huff one time, why? I don't understand, Sister Stillings, why she loves the church and wants to be here so much, because she can't hear what's going on. She was almost completely deaf. And someone said to Brother Huff, why does she love it so much? She said, she can't even hear what's going on or what the preacher is saying or anyone is saying. And Brother Huff's answer was one word. He said, atmosphere. Atmosphere. She might not have been able to hear it, but she could feel it. She could sense it. She felt the presence of God. And she'd struck out in her old age walking to the house of God if she thought her ride had forgotten her, because she wanted to be here in the house of God. Amen. May the Sister Hyla Stillings generation rise up again. Amen. A people who love God and love the house of God and want to be here. Amen. And have a love for the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stir up in us, Lord, a desire, Lord. Lord, for the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How lovely, Lord. How beloved is your tabernacle. Hallelujah. Because of your presence, because of your word, because of your people, because of the testimony, Lord, of your mighty power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that in the hearts of the children and the young people, Lord, that it would just be burned into their spirits, Lord, the love for the house of God. Love for the things of God. They'd never get away from it all the days of their life. Oh, God, do a work in the hearts of the younger folks and all of us, Lord. Lord, every one of us. Lord, a renewed love for your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, this is the place where you can meet needs. This is the place where prayers can be answered. This is the place where people can gather around and pray for people that are in their need. So much can happen right here, Lord, and does. We thank you for that. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.